They began arriving at Angel Stadium in Anaheim early in the morning in a steady stream of shiny SUVs and sports sedans that lined up in neat rows and quickly disgorged their passengers. A decidedly upscale mix of young families, middle-aged couples, and singles of all ages. Most of them appropriately attired for a balmy spring day in colorful shorts and t-shirts or tan-revealing sundresses, flip-flops, baseball caps, and sunglasses. Some hurried inside to stake out the better seats next to the dugouts and behind home plate. Others lingered in the parking lot and clustered around barbecue grills and coolers, or tossed frisbees, or lounged in beach chairs and sipped sodas in the warm Southern California sun. It was a picture-perfect day for the ballpark, and the Orange County suburbanites were out in force. But it was not to see their hometown Angels, who happened to be playing in Oakland that afternoon. On this particular Sunday, April 17, 2005, baseball was giving way to worship and to the 25th anniversary celebration of probably the largest, easily the fastest growing, and arguably the most influential evangelical congregation in the country, Saddleback Church in nearby Lake Forest. Renting Angel Stadium had been the idea of Saddleback's 51-year-old founder and senior pastor, Rick Warren, a man well known for thinking big. It was Warren, after all, who in 1980, fresh out of a Southern Baptist seminary, audaciously announced to a handful of worshipers that the church that they were starting from scratch in his tiny apartment would one day number 20,000 and would occupy a 50-acre campus. In 2004, they surpassed that goal. What began with two families as a church for people who hate church had grown to a congregation of more than 22,000 regular attenders on a 120-acre campus with an annual operating budget of more than $30 million. It was Warren, too, who, thinking that other pastors might benefit from the lessons he had learned about church growth, began conducting training seminars in the late 1980s to promote a biblical model of ministry based on what he saw as God's purposes. In 1995, he explained that model in a book for pastors entitled The Purpose-Driven Church. It sold over 1 million copies and helped launch the Purpose-Driven Network, a global alliance of now more than 10,000 congregations in 162 countries. 7 years later, he wrote a spinoff, a book intended for lay people called The Purpose-Driven Life. It became the best-selling nonfiction hardcover of all time, more than 25 million copies sold in the first 3 years alone. The resulting fame and fortune catapulted Warren onto the national and international stage. Suddenly, he found himself deluged with media interview requests and with calls from leaders in government, business, academia, the sports world, and the entertainment industry, even from foreign heads of state, seeking personal spiritual guidance or offering speaking invitations. At a time when many evangelical leaders were enlisting in the culture wars and aligning themselves with narrow partisan causes, Warren used his new public platform to call attention to the plight of the poor and the powerless, especially to AIDS victims in Africa. At the same time, Warren and his wife, Kay, were determined that their sudden wealth would not alter their lifestyle. They became reverse tithers, giving away 90% of their income and keeping just 10%. Most of the proceeds from the Purpose-Driven Life went to establish nonprofit foundations for AIDS relief and for pastoral training. Warren gave back the salary that his church had paid him over 25 years and began working for free. The Warrens stayed in the same unpretentious house in a hillside subdivision and continued driving the same Ford SUV. There would be no yachts, no vacation homes, no expensive wardrobes. All of this, of course, was seriously abnormal behavior, and the world soon took notice. Here was an evangelical leader, a Southern Baptist no less, who simply did not fit the stereotype of the dour religious right activist or of the money-grubbing TV preacher that so often seem to dominate media portraits of evangelical Christians and their leaders. Instead, Warren represented a new and more winsome breed of evangelical. Theologically and socially conservative, yes, but far less political and far more positive in engaging the broader culture. Suddenly, Warren was on the media's radar screen, and he quickly became a familiar face on Larry King Live, Good Morning America, and other national TV news and public affairs talk shows where he affably offered a fresh evangelical perspective on topics ranging from euthanasia and the Terri Schiavo case to the meaning of Christmas and the role of faith in the aftermath of 9/11. Warren was on his way to becoming, as Fortune magazine would describe him, secular America's favorite evangelical Christian.